Ulcerative colitis and the hidden logic of chronic disease. Ulcerative colitis, often called UC, is a chronic inflammatory disease of the large intestine that is becoming more common across the world, including among teenagers and young adults. For many patients, it begins with subtle warning signs such as abdominal discomfort, diarrhea, fatigue, or traces of blood in the stool. Over time, these symptoms can escalate into painful and frightening flare-ups that disrupt education, careers, family life, and emotional well-being. Although modern medicine has become remarkably effective at calming these acute disease episodes, UC remains stubbornly persistent. In most patients, the disease returns after periods of apparent recovery, sometimes without any obvious external trigger. This frustrating pattern raises a deeper and more unsettling question. Why does the intestine remain vulnerable even when symptoms disappear and inflammation seems to be under control? Why does the disease keep coming back? Researchers such as Professor Dr. Christopher Gerner of the University of Vienna and colleagues have argued that to answer these questions, we must move beyond the visible symptoms of UC and look instead at the molecular machinery operating quietly beneath the surface. Chronic diseases are not simply prolonged versions of acute illnesses. They are shaped by indirect biological mechanisms, delayed effects, feedback loops, and long-term tissue alterations that are easy to miss if one only focuses on short-term inflammation. Understanding these hidden mechanisms, known as pathomechanisms, is not merely an academic exercise. It is the key to identifying meaningful risk factors, predicting relapse, interpreting biomarkers correctly, and ultimately designing better and more durable therapies. UC is now recognized as a major and growing global health burden. Its incidence has increased steadily over recent decades, particularly in industrialized countries, and it is being diagnosed at younger ages than in the past. Despite enormous investments in genetic research, no single gene or small group of genes has been found that can fully explain why UC develops. Genetic susceptibility clearly plays a role, but it cannot by itself account for the rapid rise in cases or the striking variability in disease course from one patient to another. This has pushed researchers to look beyond genetics, toward environmental and post-genomic factors, including the gut microbiome, immune regulation, metabolism, vascular health, and nervous system activity. These factors are not independent of one another. They form a tightly interconnected biological network that shapes how intestinal tissue responds to stress, injury, infection, and inflammation. Professor Dr. Christopher Gerner and his colleagues proposed that UC should be understood not as a single malfunctioning pathway, but as a systems disease involving multiple cell types and biological processes operating across both local intestinal tissue and the entire body. One of the central paradoxes of UC is that modern therapies are often very good at suppressing acute inflammation. Corticosteroids, immunosuppressive drugs, and biologics that block inflammatory signaling molecules can rapidly reduce symptoms and bring visible inflammation under control. Many patients feel dramatically better within days or weeks. Yet remission is rarely a cure. In most cases, the disease returns. This pattern strongly suggests that suppressing inflammation alone is not enough. Something deeper remains unresolved, even when the intestine looks healed and symptoms are gone. That something, Gerner and his colleagues argued, might be a persistent molecular footprint of disease, a kind of biological memory that keeps the tissue vulnerable to relapse. To investigate, the research team performed a combined analysis of colon tissue and blood plasma from healthy individuals, patients with active UC, and patients in clinical remission. They used advanced technologies known as proteomics, which measures thousands of proteins simultaneously, and metabolomics, which profiles small molecules involved in metabolism and signaling. This multi-omics strategy made it possible to examine disease mechanisms at an unprecedented level of detail. It also allowed the researchers to compare what was happening locally in the intestinal wall with what could be detected systemically in the bloodstream. What they found challenged many simplistic ideas about UC. rather than being driven by a single cell type or a single pathological process. UC turned out to involve coordinated disturbances across many different cellular players. These included intestinal epithelial cells that form the protective lining of the gut, stromal cells that shape tissue architecture, immune cells that orchestrate inflammation, and blood-derived platelets that unexpectedly contributed to inflammatory signaling and tissue remodeling. This finding alone has major implications. It means that UC is not merely an immune disease. It is a disorder of tissue organization, energy metabolism, barrier function, vascular regulation, immune signaling, and wound healing, all happening at once. Among the most important insights from this work was the emergence of a disease model centered on the loss of intestinal mucus formation. The intestine is lined with a thick mucus layer that acts as a physical and biochemical barrier between gut bacteria and the epithelial surface. This mucus is produced by specialized epithelial cells and consists largely of complex glycoproteins called mucins. In healthy individuals, it prevents bacteria from directly contacting intestinal cells, supports immune tolerance, and maintains a balanced relationship with the gut microbiome. The proteomic data suggested that in UC, this mucus layer is compromised. Proteins associated with mucus production were downregulated, while markers of epithelial stress and immune activation were upregulated. This loss of mucus has far-reaching consequences. When the barrier weakens, bacteria and bacterial products can come into closer contact with the intestinal wall. This increases immune activation and perpetuates low-grade inflammation, even when overt symptoms have faded. The intestine becomes a biologically leaky and vulnerable environment. Crucially, this vulnerability may persist during remission. The tissue may look healed, but its molecular machinery has not fully returned to a healthy baseline. One of the core messages emphasized by Professor Dr. Christopher Gerner is that chronic diseases cannot be understood by looking only for direct causes. In acute illness, cause and effect are often straightforward. A pathogen or toxin triggers inflammation, the immune system responds, and once the trigger is removed, the system returns to normal. Chronic diseases operate differently. They are driven by indirect pathomechanisms such as feedback loops, cumulative tissue damage, metabolic stress, and long-term changes in cellular behavior. These mechanisms can sustain disease activity even after the original trigger is gone. In UC, such indirect drivers include gut microbiome dysregulation, mitochondrial dysfunction leading to reduced energy availability, local hypoxia caused by microvascular damage, chronic platelet activation, and scar formation that alters tissue architecture. Each of these processes can weaken mucus production and barrier integrity, thereby increasing the risk of relapse. To clarify the difference between acute and chronic inflammation, it is useful to consider an experimental model based on lipopolysaccharide, or LPS. LPS is a bacterial molecule that triggers a powerful immune response. When administered to healthy volunteers under controlled conditions, it produces a rapid and intense inflammatory reaction. Proteomic and metabolomic analyses of this LPS challenge model performed by Gerner and colleagues show a highly organized sequence of biological events. Endothelial cells and platelets are activated first, followed by the release of inflammatory mediators from immune cells and the liver. Metabolic pathways shift dramatically, and acute phase proteins rise sharply. Then, just as importantly, the system resolves. Within hours to days, the inflammatory response fades, regulatory mechanisms take over, and molecular profiles return to baseline. This is what a healthy inflammatory response looks like. It is fast, coordinated, and self-limiting. The LPS model demonstrates that inflammation itself is not the enemy. It is a normal and necessary biological process. The real problem in chronic disease is not that inflammation occurs, but that it fails to fully resolve and restore tissue homeostasis. To understand chronic disease even more clearly, it helps to look at long COVID. Long COVID develops in a substantial fraction of people after the acute phase of SARS-CoV-2 infection has resolved. Months or even years later, patients continue to experience fatigue, breathlessness, cognitive difficulties, and systemic symptoms, despite the fact that the virus itself is no longer detectable. A multi-omics study from Gerner and colleagues, published in iScience, analyzed blood plasma from long COVID patients and identified persistent changes in proteins and metabolites that distinguished them from both healthy individuals and people who had fully recovered from COVID-19. Strikingly, the molecular signature in long COVID was not dominated by classical markers of acute inflammation. Instead, it reflected long-lasting dysregulation of immune and metabolic networks. Some of these changes suggested a state of immune exhaustion or maladaptive immune regulation. Others pointed to altered energy metabolism and mitochondrial stress. Together, they indicated that the body had not returned to its pre-infection baseline. Instead, it had settled into a new and unhealthy equilibrium. This example illustrates a fundamental principle of chronic disease biology. Chronic illness is not simply prolonged acute illness. It is a different biological state shaped by persistent perturbations, incomplete regulatory resolution, and indirect feedback loops. The relevance for UC is profound. Just as long COVID patients remain symptomatic long after the virus is gone, UC patients remain biologically vulnerable long after acute inflammation appears to have resolved. In both cases, the disease persists not because a trigger remains, but because the system has failed to reset itself. The UC disease model developed by Gerner and colleagues distinguishes between short-term effects and long-term effects. Short-term effects include brief episodes of metabolic stress and shifts in nervous system activity, particularly increased sympathetic fight or flight signaling. These factors can temporarily weaken mucus production and barrier integrity, thereby triggering a flare. Long-term effects include microvascular damage, mitochondrial loss, scar formation, and chronic platelet activation. These changes reduce the resilience of the intestinal tissue and its ability to recover from stress. They create a baseline vulnerability that persists even during remission. This layered model helps explain why relapse often seems to come out of nowhere. It is not random. It emerges from the interaction between short-term perturbations and long-term structural and metabolic damage. One of the most promising outcomes of this research is the identification of potential biomarkers, meaning measurable molecules in blood or tissue that reflect underlying disease processes. These biomarkers could help detect ongoing pathological activity, even in the absence of symptoms. They could also allow clinicians to monitor whether a therapy is producing the intended molecular effects. The implications of this work for therapy are far-reaching. Instead of focusing solely on suppressing inflammation, a more rational strategy would aim to restore true tissue resilience. This includes supporting mucus formation, improving mitochondrial energy metabolism, protecting microvascular function, and modulating nervous system activity. It also means using biomarker profiles to track whether these deeper processes are actually being corrected. UC remains a deeply challenging disease, but research that integrates proteomics, metabolomics, tissue biology, and systems modeling is beginning to shed light on a way forward. This audio is a summary of the papers, Multiomics Empowered Deep Phenotyping of Ulcerative Colitis Identifies Biomarker Signatures, Reporting Functional Remission States, in Journal of Crohn's and Colitis, Time Course of Plasma Proteomic and Oxylipin Changes Induced by LPS Challenge and Modulated by Antioxidant Supplementation in a Randomized Controlled Trial, in Antioxidants, and A Multiomics-Based Anti-Inflammatory Immune Signature Characterizes Long COVID-19 Syndrome, in iScience. For further information, you can connect with Professor Dr. Christopher Gerner at christopher.gerner@univie@ac.at.